And God will meet every need according to his riches and glory. He will supply the need to advance the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth. And we're going to participate in the covenant meal in a few minutes. But let's look just a little bit. What's that covenant then? If he's supplying the need, what's the covenant? What is the covenant that he's wants us to fulfill? Well, the best scripture that I can think of right now concerning the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ comes from us, from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, I am not afraid of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. He says, I'm not afraid of the good news, the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. That word salvation, the Greek word for that really, it is a word that speaks to us of deliverance, of wholeness, of healing. But one of the best translations I've come across of that particular word is the word salvation means deliverance from all molestation of the devil, of the enemy. Salvation means that you are delivered from all the influence of the enemy. The power of God has come to deliver us from all the influence of the enemy. You and I need the power of God in our lives so that the enemy will not have influence on our lives. Influence on our children, influence in our homes. We need the message of the gospel and the message of salvation. We need the power of God. I believe that really sums up the covenant that the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring. Deliverance for everybody. So the resources that will be released into our hands will be resources not only to meet our own needs, but also to fulfill the covenant of God. The resources will come to fulfill the covenant of God. Now, we are in a battle, and we know the end. We know who wins. Romans 16:20 speaks to us about that God will soon crush Satan under our feet. So I want you to think about this. If the enemy is going to be crushed, and he's going to be crushed under our feet, who's he going to use to crush him? Who's he going to use to take authority over him? We've already quoted scripture talking about the believer having authority over the devil, didn't we? The devil is a defeated foe. He only uses deceit to try to get us into a place where he can manipulate us. But he is a defeated foe. But there is a battle today for the souls of men and women. There is a battle going on today for the souls of men and women. I'm afraid that the body of Christ misses that battle so much. Because we live in a society that has a tendency to think that God, above everything else, has my pleasure in his heart more than anything else. He has my comfort in his heart more than anything else. Well, I know he does want us to enjoy this life, and I know he has come that we might have a fulfillment of joy in our lives, but I'll tell you one thing, above everything else, he is concerned about the souls of men and women and children. God is concerned about bringing in the lost. And you and I, for the most part, if we are honest, we go about our daily day, everything headed toward what is going to make my life easier. What is going to make my life more comfortable? What is going to make my life real great when it comes to the retirement years so that I can enjoy my golden years in pleasure? I think if we're honest, most of Christendom thinks that way. And my God, let our minds be transformed by the Word of God. Let our minds be transformed so that we'll realize that the greatest deposit that we could ever make in the kingdom of God is to bring somebody else to Christ, is to lead somebody else into the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say? He said, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? So one soul is worth more than all the world. It's quite awesome. And you and I have been given a commission to make a mark on the kingdom in that light of bringing people to Christ. You know what? The only chance we're going to have to do that is while we're here on earth. In this short little span of time that we have here on earth, that's the only opportunity we're going to have. Once we get over there into eternity, our opportunity to grab a hold of the most valuable thing in the universe will be taken from us. Today is the day of salvation. And let me say this, today is also the day for you and I to preach salvation. to get the message out, to declare that the kingdom of God is here, to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there is a battle going on. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion looking at whom he may devour." He's looking for somebody to take out. Not only is non-Christian, but Christians as well. Therefore, we need to recognize that we are in a battle. And we need to preach that to ourselves. Let ourselves know that as we step into the arena of being born again into the kingdom of God, that we have placed ourselves as soldiers in the kingdom of God. We need to speak to ourselves in that light, recognizing that we are soldiers of God. Listen to this scripture. I know it's taken out of context a little bit. The Apostle Paul is talking about speaking in other tongues here and giving some direction in the church. But it says in 1 Corinthians 14:8, it says, "If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle?" And I think for the most part, we're hearing an uncertain sound in the body of Christ today, where we don't keep the sound coming forth about the importance of seeing people brought into the kingdom of God, come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, please, people, this morning, as I'm talking to you, don't take this as condemnation. If you've never led anybody to Christ, if you're not really involved, don't take it as condemnation. All I'm trying to do is bring us to a realization of keeping the main thing the main thing. Because the main thing as a believer is to see other people come into the kingdom of God. Trying to set our priorities right, so that the kingdom will advance. The Apostle Paul said, when he came to the end of his days, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've won the race." He came and he looked upon it as a battle. And this is what I want to infuse in us this morning, that you and I are soldiers of the King, and we are sent forth in order to take territory from the kingdom of darkness, to set people free. Ephesians 6:12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." That's not really a comforting scripture to read, but it's truth. It's truth. The battle is real. Verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand firm." And then he talks about taking up the shield of faith and so forth. And notice it says, "Take up the whole armor of God." Well, a soldier puts armor on, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." So Paul is writing to Christians here, and he's telling us that we're going to have to get used to taking on the armor of God, because there may become an attack on us someday, and if we're not well equipped, we may not be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy. If we haven't paid attention to the armor of God, we talked a little bit about that last week. When we are covered with the armor of God from head to toe, you can't even see who's in that armor, who's under all that covering. You can't see that. But if you're speaking the word of God out, if you're acting like God upon the earth, in other words, acting in love and kindness and so forth, and you have all the attributes of God, you're walking in that, and you're all covered up, when you come against the enemy and you speak the word of God out of that position, the enemy doesn't know who's in there. For as he knows, it could be God in there. So he takes off. But if we don't take up the armor of God, then we have no weaponry against the things of darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:10, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." In other words, they're not of this world. They're real weapons, but they're not of this world. "But they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." So the weapons that God gives us are mighty in God. Mighty in God. Two primary weapons that he gives us are the word of God. Remember, what does the Bible say about the sword of the Spirit? It is the word of God. So if we're going to take the enemy's kingdom, we are going to have a knowledge of the word of God. We are going to have to be diligent in reading the Word of God. If we have an area in our lives that we see harassment is taking place by the enemy, we better get the Word of God out and know what God says about my situation. Because that is the sword of the Spirit. Be diligent in grabbing a hold of the Word of God. Make feeding on the Word of God every much a part of your day as you would feed your body with food. Feed your spirit with the Word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. Now listen to this definition of a stronghold given by John Sanford in his book, Healing the Nations. A mental stronghold is defined as a practiced way of thinking that has become ingrained and automatic. It has a life and a will of its own. A stronghold that gets into our lives takes on a life of its own. It takes on an ability to steer us in a particular direction. Strongholds are areas of the mind in which we are held captive and our perceptions are completely distorted. Strongholds come into people's lives. I believe there's strongholds, they're perverted strongholds that are, for the most part, are coming on society today. And you will see some people speaking some things against the Word of God, against the principles of God, people in our government who speak things contrary to the Word of God, and they are absolutely convinced that it's true. Why? Because they have a stronghold that they allowed to build up in their life that they have built brick upon this stronghold, wanting the approval of men more than the approval of God. And they have built strongholds in their minds. Now they're in bondage to that way of thinking. But the Word of God will take those strongholds down. As we read the Word of God, we will become convicted of where our strongholds are. And we'll begin to turn around and turn our shape around a little bit. But a stronghold is something that we're doing sometimes that we think is right, but yet it's contrary to the Word of God. And it is built in our lives because of the pressure that we get from society. Society will put all kinds of pressure and to mold it into what the devil wants to present. But the Word of God will keep us straight. Strongholds are areas of the mind in which we are held captive and our perceptions are completely distorted. Many times our perceptions have been designed by the world. Now, parents, I say these things to you and to encourage you that you are in a battle. You are in a battle for your children. Whether we want to admit it or not, you are in a battle. And one of the greatest places to do battle is on your knees in prayer. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're in a battle, if you agree with the Word of God that says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. If you believe that we are in a war, our warfare, we have weapons that will take care of our warfare, then you need to ask yourself, have I even entered boot camp? Have I even entered boot camp? Have I even taken training in order to practice the use of my weapon, the Word of God and prayer? Have I practice the ability to be able to take that sword out and move it around? Am I confident in the Word of God to run into battle? Can you ever become the great warrior that's willing to take the sword of the Spirit? I'm just thinking of that scene in Braveheart where I forget the guy's name now. That comes running in with the sword, the leader, and in the front of the whole army. And he gets this big, huge sword, and he's running with everything that's in him, ready to swing that sword. Because I'm convinced when men and women do that, the reason why they do it in the natural, and they run with everything that's in them, because they realize that they could be taken out, so they're going to give everything they got in order to fight to the death. Well, as important as it is to fight to the death in the natural, it's even more important to fight to the death in the spiritual. Because your children are at stake. And we want to stand up and be counted in these days. Because the kingdom of God has come and has released blessing upon us. Now you say, well, Pastor, I just have a difficult time even speaking to my children. Why do you have a difficult time speaking to your children? It's because there's a stronghold has gotten in. Convincing you that you don't have a lot of influence in their lives. Or convincing you that you cannot tell your kids what to do. Because that's not the way it's done today. You can't, you know, they have to find their own way. Well, no, you're supposed to show them the way. You're supposed to give them direction according to the way. According to the scriptures, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. You're to point them to Jesus. And above everything else, your children must believe that you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's the only way to salvation. And if you don't go through him, you're going to die and go to hell. They must be convinced that you're convinced of that. If not, they'll be influenced by the world.